Amen. Sister Ruth, I appreciate that. Amen. Appreciate the good singing this morning, and so thankful for the spirit that I've already felt this morning. So good to see all of you here. I know the weather was kind of in and out a little bit, but I think it all worked out just fine, and I'm just very thankful that we're here. I told Brandy earlier, if we had to have gone Facebook or what have you, I said some messages are just made for the congregation and being together, and this is one of those. And I'm so thankful that we're able to be here together this morning. If you'd like to, let's be turning to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3, going to be looking starting at verse 17. And while you're turning there, I have a card I'd like to read. And this is to the youth group. It says, wishing you peace in your heart and happiness in your home this Christmas. May our Lord give you a most joyous holiday season. Thank you for your card. Merry Christmas. And this is from Brother Tom. And so I just wanted to share that with you this morning also. Amen. Amen. We were preaching last week about the birth of Jesus, and we see who he is and understanding that not only was he all man, he is all God, the I Am. That's what makes his birth, one of the many things that makes his birth so miraculous. And we kind of continue on today. Probably John chapter number 3 is probably one of the most popular chapters in the entire book of the Bible. And especially on down to about John 3:16, probably most everybody here has heard that and probably might even be able to quote it. It's probably the first verse that I memorized. Right alongside Brother Garrett, probably Jesus Wept. We was in Sunday school probably together, and I remember sometimes when we would, as young people, would get together, and we were supposed to say Bible verses in front of the church or what have you. That was always my go-to. That was one I thought I could memorize, but how sweet it is to memorize John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What an amazing verse that is. The Bible hinges, our faith, our belief hinges on that very verse right there. But this morning, it's a little bit different. I want to pick up after that verse. A lot of times we'll start at the beginning, verse number or chapter number 3, and come down. But the Lord just laid this on my heart, going through my yearly reading and listening. I call it listening. I listen to the Bible pretty much daily on my app, and I was listening to this, and this verse or this chapter came through, and sometimes it's just maybe a little bit more illuminated than at other times, and this was that kind of moment for me. I just want to look at verses number 17 through 21 this morning, but you know, something that has been on the news a lot lately, and you probably heard it and everything, if you listen to it and you keep up with things, but it's an amazing I guess if you want to say power or authority that has been given to our president to be able to pardon somebody or pardon different people. You know, you ever keep up with that? I've not really fully kept up with it. You know, who would you pardon? Who would you not pardon? You know, sometimes it might be just a couple or it might be a whole long list of things. But, you know, when I read that and I hadn't studied up, but I think I'm going to try to. But what gives him that authority to do that? But I tell you, a lot of times it kind of just makes me mad, to be honest with you. I mean, you think about the president has the power to let somebody found guilty go free. Don't that just burn you up? Yep. Don't that burn you up? Don't that just make you mad? I mean, we're not talking about somebody that could be innocent, I mean, necessarily. I mean, this somebody's been found guilty probably in prison. Isn't that something? That's amazing. And on the face of Brother Ben, it just made me mad. I was like, well, of course he's going to let this person go free. Of course he's going to do that. And then, of course, people are going to be mad if this person gets to go free, if the other president lets the person. But it's just something to think about, you know. But I want you to think about that this morning as we look at these verses here. But we're going to start with John 3:17. It said, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth trust cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Lord, we just come to you this morning, God, just thankful that we're able to be here. God, I'm so thankful for everyone that's here. It's so good to see everyone, and good to see this number out. God, I just pray that you just go with us today. Just let the weather not even be an issue, not even be a thought. God, whatever it's on our minds right now, God, I just pray that we'd be able to turn to you, that we would turn to your word, God. We'd surrender to it. We'd listen to it. Let that be the focal point of our minds and our hearts this morning. God, you give messages for a reason. God, you know who's going to be here before we get here. You know the hearts, the thoughts, the things that are on people's minds, God, and just the maybe the troubles that they have and the concerns and the things that they're trying to figure out. But God, we know that we can find answers in your word, and so thankful to find answers this morning. God, I just pray that you just surround our church with your spirit, God. We're just so blessed to fill it this morning. God, don't want to do anything to hinder it. Lord, we just want you to have free reign in all that's said, all that's done. Lord, it truly is all for you, and it's all about you, God. It's not about us. It's about you, God. But your love toward us is what sent you to the cross. And God, just we just thank you so much for that. Lord, help us today. Help our hearts and minds to focus on you. Get everything else off of our minds. Go with us today. Be with our lost people, God. Help them to see. Help them to see the word today. Help them to see what it means, God. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now this is, again, very common scripture. Most people probably understand the background and the understanding of it. But what you see here is when the Lord was actually talking to Nicodemus, somebody who actually came to talk to him, talk business with him. And he actually came by night. He didn't come out in front of everybody. And I think you say, well, maybe that was because he's wanting to be discreet about it. Well, actually, he didn't want the other people to know why he was showing up there, because there was such a just such an uproar about Jesus. And when you think about somebody like Nicodemus, who was learned in the law, a Pharisee, he was supposed to know his word. He's supposed to know these things, and he had a lot of questions. And there in the first half of this dialogue here, the Lord is talking to him about being born again, and he's trying to figure that out. He's trying to figure that out in his mind, trying to understand that. And it said you have to be born of the water, you have to be born of the Spirit. And you have to understand that. You got to understand, you know, the water, by the washing, by the renewing of the water, is how we understand that people don't get saved without hearing the Word of God. They have to understand what the gospel is, the good news of the gospel, and that's exactly what the Lord was sharing with Nicodemus. Understanding that you have to hear the gospel and you have to accept the gospel to be saved. And it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it really is. Sometimes it's made very hard by man and added to and taken away from. But if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ with repentance in your heart, asking him to forgive you, he'll take you in. I just want you to understand something. You know, these folks that are being pardoned, I don't think any one of them is going to say, you know what, I appreciate it. Thank you, I've been in prison now X amount of years. Thank you, I appreciate that. But I think I'm just going to stay here. I kind of like it here. I think I'm going to stay. No, they're standing at the door waiting on that door to be open. You see, that's an amazing thing about a pardon like that, that somebody has that ability and has that power. But I want you to see who has that absolute ability and power this morning for you. You see, what we're seeing something here, the way this is broken down, the Lord was just obviously magnificently laying this out to Nicodemus, that we all could see this and understand this, the importance of being born again and hearing the Word of God and accepting the Word of God. And we start here in verse number 17. He's explaining about why Jesus came to this earth. You know, I think a lot of times we spend time, I've talked to people, in fear and reverence of Jesus Christ, and this first time coming to the earth, it was not to condemn the world. It was to set the world free so the world could see and understand and have a way of understanding what the gospel is. And that's what Jesus was explaining to Nicodemus. Verse number 17, it said, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." He's saying here's an avenue of salvation that you can have. You got to remember, too, about the time that Jesus was here on this earth. This was just after that 400 silent years. That was some very, very dark years. When the Lord had been speaking to people and things had been taking place and happening, and all of a sudden you have 400 years. That's like four generations if we live to be 100 years old. You imagine how far removed that would be. Grandparents wouldn't have stories to tell with their grandchildren, their children to share on when the Lord did this or said this. It's 400 solid years. It's a very dark time in history. One thing about this morning, when we came outside, I was noticing, I was like, man, it's awful dark out here. I know at the time change and all, but it's just so cloudy, and you even look out the window, sometimes you can see when the sun is shining through and it's real bright. It's not like that this morning on the outside. Kind of bright in here. Looks good in here. Good and warm in here. But you see, that's what he was saying here. He was giving a ray of hope. He was talking about some hope and what people could have, that people could be saved, that they could be preserved. You know, that's the big question a lot of times today is people want to know if they are saved or not or can be saved. You can be saved and you can know it. The Lord Jesus Christ moves it to your heart, you're going to know it. You know, sometimes people might ask the question, what does it feel like to be saved? Isn't that hard to explain? If somebody came to you, Christian, today and said, what does it feel like to be saved? What does that feel like? You know, we deal with feelings a lot of times as people. That's how we're made up. But you know, it's a hard thing to explain to somebody what that feels like. To put it into terms, I think back to the night that I got saved, and it was this immediate, beautiful thing, and I felt free. I don't like feeling restricted, but I felt free. I felt forgiven. You know, that's something. If you ever trying to deal with that, if you want somebody to forgive you, but you don't know if they're going to, and maybe somebody's trying to ask you for forgiveness, and maybe you're having a hard time forgiving them, that's a lot to work with right there. But let me tell you something. Jesus is different about forgiveness. If you come to Him, He will freely forgive. Amen. Have you been forgiven this morning? Christian, I mean, it's okay. It's okay. We're not worthy of it, don't get me wrong. But if He says, you're forgiven, it's okay to accept that. That's a gift you don't want to turn away. You see how it comes on down, and he's explaining here. In verse number 18, he says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, I want us to understand something right here. It's very important that we understand this. Using this illustration of being pardoned and a person being guilty of doing something, and now they're guilty, they're found guilty. This is the darkest part about these Bible verses here. I want you to know this morning, if you're here and you're lost, and this does pertain to every single one of us, it's a little different for saved people, I'll explain that. But if you're here and lost this morning, we are all born guilty. Guilty. That is probably, church, one of the most impactful things, one of the hardest things I've experienced as a person, as being in court, being a part of a trial where maybe it's a homicide trial or a big trial like that, where it really matters, where people's lives are at stake. And you can see the look and concern on the defendant's face, and you can see that, and all the work has been turned in, and you hear the knock on the door, the jury comes out, and it's time to give the verdict. And that person is sitting there with their white knuckles just trying to figure out, are they going to set me free? Or are they going to say that I'm guilty? And then you hear the jury just stand up and read one by one, 12, maybe sometimes 13 of them say, guilty, guilty. And you see the look on their face, their countenance just drops because they know they're guilty. Now the only thing that's left is the sentencing time. Their life has changed forever. And see, that's what I want us to understand this morning. As hard as it may be to understand, we're born that way. That sentence is passed on us as soon as we're born guilty. Isn't that something? That's dark. That's bleak. That's sad. That's hard. It's not like we live a certain amount of time and maybe sin or do something wrong, then we're found guilty. We're all born guilty. That sentence is already passed. That gavel has already been hit down. And we're already found guilty. And you know what? We're going to be in prison forever and ever and ever unless something happens. That's just how it is. Let's just think for just a minute. Let's take Jesus out of the equation for just a minute. Let's just say there was no Jesus. When that gavel goes down at birth, there's no hope. That's it. It's forever settled. We would live a life, however long that life might be. The afterlife comes, and that afterlife is either heaven or hell. Without Jesus, there'd be no heaven. It'd be hell for eternity. That's as dark as a forecast as I can give you. And you see, that's how we're born into this earth. That's how we come into this thing. That's the hope that we have. That's all we know. That's all we have. And see, that's what he's saying here. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. The sentence has already been passed. Because he has not believed on the only begotten name, the only begotten Son of God, and that's Jesus Christ. You think about such an important sentence that's being carried out. Now I want you to understand and see that you have hope. There's a man, his name is Jesus. He was all God, all man, just what we talked about last week, the importance of understanding the gospel, who he is, why his death was different than any death. Him going to the cross is everything. And why it's so important in believing in that, why it's so important. Somebody came to this earth to change our lives forever if we'd be willing to accept it. Now again, you see these people when the president is saying, you're pardoned. You're set free. They're not going to stay there. They're going to get up and they're going to walk out. They're going to say, I will gladly take that. Doesn't that seem to be the better deal? You imagine having no hope. You're just stuck. You're stuck in prison. You're stuck and you have absolutely no hope of anything. But somebody comes along and says, I'm going to set you free. What's the next question? What's the next question that you would have, what I would have? What do I have to do? What do I have to do? What do you want me to do? What do I have to do to have this freedom? I don't want to stay in this condemnation. I don't want to stay in this bondage. Condemnation is being guilty. Being found guilty. Judgment passed on them. Because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. Now look at verse 19. I want to spend just a minute here because there's a lot in this verse. There's a whole lot in this verse. And it said, this is the condemnation. That's the title of the message this morning. This is the condemnation. This is what it all hinges on. This is the guilty verdict. This is the condemnation. This is the guilt. That means the disapproval, to doom, to sentence, to pay a fine. This is what it's saying if you look it up. But this is the sentence. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the decision. You say, well, why would somebody not take this pardon? Why would somebody not take this deal? Why would they not? Because they love their deeds more than light. So what does that mean about anything? Talk about light just a minute. We've been thinking about that a lot this year in preparation for our service, but light. There's a lot in a definition sometimes, and I looked it up. The light is an agent or matter which makes objects perceptible to the sense of seeing. What does that mean? That means when you turn on the light, you can see. Had it been completely dark in here, you wouldn't be able to see. Not except for what light is coming through the windows there maybe, or the back door. The light that you would have. Light makes things perceptible so we can see it. Light exists independent of other substances. Light doesn't depend on anybody else or anything else. Isn't that scientific? A lot of things have variables. A lot of things have, it has to be like this or has to be like that. Light doesn't depend on anything is what the definition is saying. It's independent of any other substance. Doesn't depend on anything. It also says that its velocity is astonishing. It travels at 12 millions of miles per minute. That's fast. Ever go that fast? I haven't. I don't think we could handle it. I think the fastest I'd been, Sister Sandra, was an airplane. You've done that now too. It's kind of fast. You don't really feel it maybe, but 12 millions of miles, you'd feel that. You know how fast that is? I was like, whoop, it's like that fast. That's boom. I mean, that's fast. But the thing about light is you got to understand either you're afraid of the light or you're accepting of the light. But the thing about light is you either got to go to it or come away from it. And what the Bible is saying here, this is the condemnation, that people chose their deeds versus coming to the light. So when you get around light, what happens, Brother Norm, when you get around it, it starts illuminating things. See, I mean, look how that illuminates the Word of God right there. Had a person give me a testimony one time, said, I was studying in the book of John, asking how to be saved. And she said, I had my Bible laid out to the book of John. She said, the ray of sun came through the light and illuminated the pages of the book. And she said it was so clear. Only God can do something like that. When you think about that, though, I mean, light, I mean, that's, most people like light. As a child, I loved light. I hated the darkness. I hated to be in my room by myself. I was a scaredy cat as a little kid. That's why when I grew up, I started carrying a gun when I was out at nighttime. I was a cop. That's a joke. It's okay. But the light, that's one of the first things that they gave us. Even security officers get to carry a light. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. That way you can see what's going on. You know, that's usually when something is afoot, is at nighttime. A lot of times people don't go out during the day to break the law because they're afraid they're going to be seen. But you know, that's why they go out at night, and they might have a little light, and you know, you try to use it just a little bit, but not so much. But the thing about light is when you get closer to the light, it illuminates things. Nicodemus, what he found out, what he realized was that when he came to Jesus, he didn't come to Jesus as a Pharisee. He came to Jesus as Nicodemus. When you come to the Lord, Brother Garrett, when you come to the Lord, you go to him as Garrett. Not what you do by day. I didn't go to the Lord by Detective Cornette or anything like that. You see, he don't look at us that way. It doesn't matter what our daytime job is. He already knows and sees through us to the heart. See, that's where Nicodemus was at. He's wanting to know these things, but as he got closer to the light, he started seeing some things in his own life. It exposed things. Now, that's what scares people. Guilt is a horrible thing to live with. Guilt is a hard thing to carry. It's something that you want gone, and you want to get it rid of it. You want it out of your life, but a lot of times what people will try to do is they'll try to hide it, they'll try to carry it, and they'll see what happens at the end of life. I want to tell you, that's not the thing to do. See, Jesus, he wants you to come to the light. He says, you come to me and you ask for forgiveness and I will forgive you. But you see, this is the condemnation. People started running from the light. They didn't want to go to that. They said, you know what? I'm going to have it. I had a friend one time I graduated with, try to witness to him. And he said, you know what? He said, I don't know what to believe, but he said, I'm just going to ride this thing out and I'm going to see what happens. That's the most dangerous thing you can do, because I promise you it's not going to work well for you. You think about it, Jesus, when you read the Word of God and it exposes things in your life, that's the light. And it's instantaneous. The night that I got saved, it was instant. Didn't have to wait over it. Had a friend tell me one time too. She said, I don't know. She said, I've been saved, but it was over the course of this time to this time. I don't know exactly when. That's not my testimony. That's not the speed of light. That's 12 millions of miles in a minute. It's done. When you ask God to save you, it's that quick. When you ask him to forgive you, isn't that something? Jesus doesn't have to go in the back room and say, let me think about this verdict a little bit. Let me weigh out the facts to see if I want to save this person or not. You know, when he went to the cross, he had your heart on his mind. He said, I'm going to cross for that person. He said, Nathan, I'm going to cross for you. He said, Jason, I'm going to cross for you. Kaylee, I'm going to cross for you. That's what he said. He knew on the front end, but you know what he knew? We were condemned already. Every single one of us guilty already. That's never in question. It's not like we're going to try to work our way out of being guilty or work our way out of being condemned. We're condemned already. But the condemnation was people were afraid of light. They didn't want to go to the light. They wanted to stay away from the light. And they wanted to hide their deeds. They wanted to stay the same old way. Well, I tell you, I urge you today, don't stay the same old way. If I were you this morning and I was lost, I'm just going to tell you, I would run to the light. You know, there's things in our life that we don't want everybody to know and all this kind of stuff. But you know, this thing about asking God to forgive you, asking the Lord to forgive you, you go to him. You don't go through a man. You don't go through somebody else. You go straight to the Lord Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me a sinner. You remember that? Remember that tax collector that beat in his chest? He said, "Forgive me, a sinner." What did the Lord do? He forgave him. He went home justified. You see how that's how it works. But you see, you've got a decision to make. Are you going to let the light scare you away, or are you going to go to the light? The light is truth. You see, you can't go trying to hide something from God. I want to give you a secret right there. He already knows. There's no hiding from him. Remember, he's light. Wherever he walks, you can't help but run into the light, because that's all he is. With him, there's no variance. There's no variableness. The Father of lights, the Bible says. That means that there's always light around him. There's no hiding anything around him. And sometimes that scares people. But see, that's where forgiveness is important. When a person comes to the Lord with a heart of repentance and forgiveness and says, "Lord, forgive me, I've done wrong. I've done these things wrong." He is faithful and just to forgive. He's there with open arms waiting for that. That's all he's asking. This is the condemnation. This is what the Bible is teaching. This is what Jesus himself, he would tell you if he were here today. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. That's what came to the world the night that he was born. Light came into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Remember, they're condemned already. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That means that they be changed or corrected. You see, sometimes people, they get to a place, they get to that decision. I've got to decide, do I want to accept the Lord? Do I want to come clean? Do I want to ask him to forgive me, or do I want to try to keep this, holding on to this guilty life and just hoping things might get better? They're not going to get better for you. The devil might allow your life to be easy if you're lost, but it's not going to get better for you. It's going to get worse. There's going to come a time in your life you're going to need peace that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you. When this world is looking like it is, when it's bleak, when it's not right, and everything's going wrong, and you look at somebody and they're like, "How in the world could you have peace at a time like this?" It's because they got Jesus Christ in their heart. It's the only way. You won't have peace. You can't manufacture that. You can't fake that. But you know, I remember. I think about it logically, because at the time, that's all I could do as a lost person. Didn't have the inner dwelling. When you have the inner dwelling, it's kind of different. Everything gets brighter. Everything gets lighter. I don't know how else to say it. I'd say Bartimaeus would probably tell you the same thing. It's like, I can see now. I can see. Think about the services that we had before I got saved. It scared me to death. People raising their hand, shouting and singing. I was like, what is going on? This is scaring me. But not when I got saved. Finally realized what people were shouting about. They could see. And I can see. I tell you, I like being able to see. I like it that the Lord illuminates things that we can see it and we can know it. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know how else to say it to you this morning. It's a blessed thing to be able to see. But you see, the problem is everyone that doeth evil, they hateth the light. They want to stay concealed. They want to conceal things away. I remember a time as a young boy going to church and just feeling so guilty and carrying that weight, wanting that weight to be gone, but not doing anything about it. You say, "Preacher, what do you do about it?" You ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. It's already done. I want you to understand that this morning. Jesus isn't going to meet you here, meet you where you're at, and say, "Let me think about this a minute." He's going to say, "Forgiven," because he already has. It's already there. He's waiting on you. He was waiting on me. He was waiting on me to make the decision. He knew what it was all about. He knows how it's going to be. He's just waiting on you. This is the condemnation. People waiting. Verse number 20 again. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, and I'm closing with this. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And what does that mean? Made manifest. He that doeth truth, he that you say, "I'm here this morning and I want to be right." You go to him, you say, "Lord, make me right. Help me to be right." And he will. You come to the light. You're not hiding anything. You bring all your baggage with you. You say, "Jesus, here it is. This is everything." Again, he already knows. and you lay it at his feet and say, Lord, forgive me a sinner. Do you know what he's going to do? I promise you. You're going to say, forgiven. Forgiven. I've been waiting on you to come. I went to the cross some 2,000 years ago waiting on this day to come. Waiting on you to come. And it goes on a little bit further than that. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that his deeds might be made clear. If you're here this morning, there's a lot of times, I think there's a lot of saved people trying to find their purpose, trying to find their reason. Why did God make me? Why did God create me? What does he want me to do? You see, when you get saved, when you accept Christ, he has a mission for you. When you were born before the foundation of the earth, he created you with a mission in mind, not by mistake, not by happenstance. It's not by, well, we'll just see what happens and see what they're good at. He had a mission for you already planned out. And see, that's what he's trying to get us to understand and see here. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, made clear, made known. Lord, I want to know what my purpose is. I remember after being saved, I was a child at that time, but later on in life trying to seek after the Lord, I was like, Lord, what's my mission? What do you want me to do? And this is the answer to that verse, that it may be manifest, made clear, that they are wrought in God, that they are worked in God. They're no longer worked in you. They're no longer worked in me. The worst thing we could do this morning is think that you and I could do anything, because we can't. We're not capable. We don't have the ability to do things. We don't have the ability to answer prayers and do things like God does. We don't have that ability. And that's why it hurts me so bad and concerns me so bad about people that are trying to wait and just see what happens. You're trusting in yourself. It's not going to work. There's no question it's not going to work. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. One of the last things I want to read here. Think about coming to the truth and understanding things and understanding what he is saying. Revelation 21:6, it says, and he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Talking about the truth of Jesus Christ. Talking about this order of Jesus Christ. One of the things about that 12 million, looking at that number, 12, that's a number of completeness. God has his complete plan for you and I this morning. The question is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with what the Lord has given to you? What are you going to do with this time? This is one day that you have, you'll never have it again. As this day comes and it goes, it passes, and you might not have it tomorrow. You say, preacher, you're trying to scare me. I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. The Bible tells us the truth. No man is promised tomorrow. That's why we can't boast in what we'll do tomorrow. We can't, because we don't know that tomorrow will come. But I'll ask you this morning, what are you going to do? The condemnation has already been passed. The condemnation has already been settled. We're all guilty before God until you ask him to pardon you. How about it this morning? If you will, stand with me. How about it this morning? As the ladies come to play,